How are you doing? Haven't heard you in a while.
Today started off for early, and it's going to be a long day.
A lot of driving, though. Is it somewhere far away, or just a lot of driving around town?
Yeah, I started out the morning driving to Hendersonville, and now I got to drive to Donaldson. And then I have no idea how long I'll be at Donaldson, because I'm actually supporting someone else.
Opportunity, or one-time deal, or something repeating?
That'd be fixing my Wi-Fi link between the equipment and the tower. I had a couple of their bridge modems went out. They replaced them, and they went out again. So we got to figure out what's going on.
She'll be done. It'll be back to normal.
Well, normal for things that actually have equipment that actually have computers attached to them. Yeah.
You knew about going back up to the mountain anytime soon?
Sometime soon?
ERS is going nuts.
We actually had plans for that. I didn't know we had plans.
Well, not that I know of. I was asking you if you knew of any.
We'll see here in a little bit when I get on 85. I still have problems down at 85. The other day, I just could not hear at all. It was all static. I knew somebody was transmitting, but all I heard was static the whole way down 85, and that's rare for me.
Some fluctuation in propagation on VHF. I've heard moments like that, like you're talking about, and then I've heard moments where people are coming in from long distances that they haven't been coming in from before at the same time. So it's going up and down. I guess it's we're into summer. Is summer starting to get into fall yet or something? I don't know. It's something going on with the atmosphere.
Now, there is something going on with the atmosphere because the airports have been reporting that they're getting VHF transmissions from Atlanta, and they don't normally get VHF transmissions from Atlanta, and that was during the heavy-duty smoke, all that pollution California's putting out.
Okay, I guess that would have something to do with it, because the light reflects off of that, and that changes temperatures. So I guess that does have something to do with it. There was somebody else I was hearing saying that it was really, really smoky all the way on this side, on this coast, from the fires that are going on that coast.
I remember that soot, especially from trees and whatnot, tend to also have metallic particles in them. So that's also something to wonder about there.
Instead of burning, the metallic particles are going up in the air?
Affirmative. And we're talking like nanoparticles here, so I mean, they're really super tiny, but they do have, you know, all sorts of metals in them.
And electromagnetic waves bounce off of those. I don't know what's going on with APRS. It's like every time I let up off the mic, it's transmitting. Something, maybe somebody put up a new digipeater or something, and I'm just getting hammered with APRS all of a sudden. I don't know what the deal is. Are you running APRS now?
I am not running APRS in the truck, and actually my digipeater is also down. I haven't put it back up since I renovated my office.
There's a new one. I have to look when I get back home. I can't look now, but I just know it's when you transmit, it's a like less than 50 feet. It's like 70% chance it's going to be an APRS beacon going out when you're doing that. And I don't even have digipeater turned on in my car, so I don't know what's happening with that.
APRS turned on in the truck because I'm actually on the, my APRS channel is actually on aviation band for receive, so it's not transmitting nothing.
Well, you know, if somebody sends out a query for query all stations, then all stations are going to transmit. So that could be, maybe somebody's sending out APRS ? Over and over and over again.
And I hope it's not a misconfigured digipeater, because, you know, a lot of people mess up when they first set up a digipeater, thinking, oh, well, it needs to go everywhere. Well, no, that's really bad. It totally saturates the band.
Much. You're right. It doesn't. You got to keep it down to 2 hops or less. Otherwise, Yeah, you're right. It can saturate wide areas. It wasn't built for that, I guess. Easily saturated. Probably needs some revision there, but it's been working for so many years now, it's probably not going to happen.
Yeah, you know, when APRS originally came out back in the mid-80s, they did do a revision in around 2010 to 12, somewhere in that vicinity, because they were saturating. They were running out of bandwidth and everything else. And, you know, I don't know that they're actually planning on doing another revision, but it'd be nice if they did. There's some things that are wrong with APRS.
They... And we should do that. I'm gonna quit working on September the 15th. Maybe we should turn in today and do that for them.
Well, how are we gonna retire? Supposedly AOL was trying to get rid of our ball limits, and that would be helpful to, you know, be able to jack up the speed of the APRS. Hopefully that would keep it from saturating. As fast, but you never know.
Any way to make it happen, right? Just turn up the speed, problem solved. But you'd have to get everybody coordinated. Everybody'd have to understand that limit had been raised, and then you have things like UIView 32, where the author's no longer alive, and he did not allow any modifications to it before he died. So that one's kind of stuck.
There's other programs out there that are actually open source programs as well. It'll run on, you know, just about anywhere. I think there's even a Python one.
If many of them are cropping up, so yeah, we could abandon the one that's no longer usable. Or it could stay that way, you know, if everybody else increased their speed, then you could have one or two laggers that are still out there that I just like the job that he did, Roger. The guy that built that, he did a fantastic job building it. Anyway, I'm at home. I got to get out and go in and log in and do a little work today. You be safe out there with all your traveling, Wyatt. Good to hear you on the air. KJ4CTD, W4DJW.
All right, we'll catch you later, David. KJ4CTD, monitoring.
Good morning, Wyatt. I heard you and Dave, but I was having a bowl of cereal and a bagel, and just wanted to say, hey, it's 79 degrees. It's supposed to be up in the 90s today, so stay out of that heat, my friend. It's just the air quality's really sucked lately.
Hey, over by GSD, and yeah, it is supposed to get hotter today, and... You know, I'm just doing support stuff today, and maybe I may squeeze in a minor inspection or two while I'm out and about.
Well, I just wanted to tell you that I noticed the propagation from Atlanta. I usually get it, but I don't have anything exotic except a little multi-man antenna about 4 foot high out here on the carport. But I've been getting 135.35 extremely well here recently, and it used to be a little bit on the iffy side.
Well, and it seems to be, you know, getting through the duplexers at the airport too. So they're actually receiving it on. Are there any duplexers on that? Yes, there are duplexers on that, and it seems to be getting into the tower equipment. So it's hit and miss, but I don't know. It's affecting everything.
I'm surprised that over the years that they haven't switched out of the AM mode, but they just haven't. And I'm not smart enough to know why. But it works quite well for what they use it for. I have seen exceptions to that when I was in an air crew. One time out in California, we couldn't even talk to the control tower. Had to go to another airport, actually, to get clearance to take off.
The reasoning behind that, supposedly, is that it's too expensive for all the private pilots to switch over. And When you're talking professional grade equipment, the certification process has got so much red tape in it that that's a true statement. It's very expensive to switch things over. You know, that's why it's taken forever for things like ADS-B to get into the pilot's cockpit. It was certified, you know, what, 10 years or more ago, and they gave them 10 years to do it, and then they still had to do a waiver for everybody else.
Last question, and I don't know what class airspace this is, because I'm not up on that stuff like you are. I just have occasionally listened, but, and I listen more in the car than I do at home. But I was just wondering, if you fly into Greenville's airspace, is that required now to have the ADS-B?
Everybody has to be able to receive it. The only people that have to transmit are those that are IFR equipped. That is, they have a, drawing a blank, transponder. There you go.
My daughter's neighbor flies a lot down there at Donaldson, and his name is Donald McDonald. Not Ronald McDonald, but Donald McDonald. An extra fine person, and I think he just got a 172 or 182, I'm not sure which. And it's really a nice plane, and he got new avionics in it, and it's equipped with the ADS-B. And then they got TCAS, but he don't have that, I don't think. But he's very happy with the ADS-B. He said it's really nice.
KJ4CTD Mobile. You know, ADS-B has a lot of good uses to it, and it'd be nice, you know, if everybody had it, and if all the control towers could actually write to the system. But, you know, that's not true yet. And you know, it's great for when you're taxiing and stuff, because it tells you where everybody is and whether they're moving or not.
That's pretty slick. It really is. Well, it's nice to hear Dave's going to retire. I knew he was going to. He's been talking about getting one of those big motor homes and such. And my neighbor has been watching all these videos on that. I don't know. I have mixed emotions about that. Of course, at my age, I'm not going to do it now. If you're going to do it, Dave's age would be ideal. But I can't imagine driving one of those in traffic and trying to park it someplace and towing a car behind it. And I've seen several of them that burnt down to a crisp out on I-44 back up in Kansas and Oklahoma. I think the generator caught on fire or something. But by the time they got fire equipment out there, they were gone.
A self-propelled motorhome?
Overheard a discussion of it on the radio here one time. Yeah, I think so. And so they could travel around the United States. But don't let me speak for Dave.
Looking for a toy hauler, because I have a toy, and I'd like to go places, and, you know, I'd like to take a two-week vacation, go visit somewhere new, don't worry about a hotel. Me, personally, I probably would not drive, like, on 85 through Greenville to get somewhere. I would go around. But, yeah, that'd be a pain in the butt.
Not with that, entirely. I-85 is a death trap anymore. We got on it yesterday coming. We went out and mailed some peaches to my nephew up in Boston, and we turned out a FedEx out there and went over towards 85. And when we got down near Pelham, I saw signs saying that there was construction ahead. And between Pelham and Woodruff, it's just a mess. So I took off at Pelham and kind of lost down in there around Patewood. But I found my way out. But I'd rather do that than go down through that area if it's congested. I don't know what they were doing as far as construction goes right now, because I thought all that was pretty well done. But it's just a mess. And then over there at Spartanburg, up that way is where they got them chutes. Wow. Took them long enough, and they killed enough people before they'd done anything. But people drive like there's no tomorrow, and a lot of them, there isn't a tomorrow.
No question about the place. Literally just went through it. They're repaving the stretch of 85 they hadn't paved before, and I think they're actually extending the on-ramp on the 85 from Pelham. Possibly all the way down to where Woodrow 385 is. I don't know.
I got a little stretchy there, extending the on-ramp from Pelham. Is that what you said, Wyatt?
The on-ramp onto 85 from Pelham Road, and I don't know how far down they're going, and I am in a study spot. I just went under a whole bunch of concrete.
Yeah, that's probably a good thing, because that's a killer of a place there, too, during the rush hours. If we go out there, it's a have-to situation, and we try not to go during rush hours because we're retired. But we had to get over to the west side of town to a podiatrist over west of the Greenville Hospital, and so I just went back up and got on Wade Hampton and went. I should have just turned left and went out of the FedEx and went down Vern Smith Parkway and back up 14 and went down that way to avoid it. But yeah, you're right. But I go up these. I've been up to like up Mount Pisgah and places like that, and people are camped every 50 feet from each other up there, and absolutely saturated with campers and that, and I don't know, I'm from Kansas. That's just not camping to me.
Yeah, and you know, the camper I've been looking at is about a 26-footer, and you know, my philosophy on camping is, you know, get something that you'll enjoy for, you know, 2 to 3 weeks at a time. And that's all, anything more than camping for 3 weeks, that's not camping, that's living in an RV, and that just sounds weird, bizarre to me.
Anymore, this is in Zero TR. I know about once a year, sometimes twice, except during this COVID, we've been up to Cherokee Casino just for fun, and we stay overnight and come back the next day. That's so beautiful along that highway there, just, I think it's 441, just before you get into Cherokee, and there's just camper after camper after camper along that beautiful stream. I don't think I'd mind that for a couple of weeks, you know. It's a trout stream and such, and that's quite beautiful. But I doubt if you've talked to him, but N4WHM is a good friend. And he's retired from the, well, he's not retired, but he's the IT guy down at the University of Georgia. And Chad, KO4NUE, is another good one that's on here now. He's a retired sergeant major from the Army. But Bill, he sent me pictures from where they went camping. And I forget where it's at, but I think it's in the mountains of Georgia. And it looked like it was out in the boondocks. And they had a tent, and, you know, they just go for a few days. That looked pretty enjoyable.
For DYH, Johnny, he has an RV, and, you know, he lives in it, and that's not camping to me. I don't understand why he does that, but it is what it is. And, you know, I don't want a massive camper. I just need enough for me and the wife and the boys. And, you know, go and park somewhere scenic, away from people as much as possible. Because you're right. I mean, you know, living 50 feet apart from each other, from, you know, 200 of your really strangers, it is not camping to me. Let's all go live in a trailer park for a week.
Well, they say brilliant minds think alike. So I think that includes us, Wyatt. I better let you go, buddy. You have a good day. I envy you. I wish I could go down there and see what that was like out on Donaldson. I see the P-8 Poseidon's doing touch and goes down there now and then, and the C-130s, and brings back old memories. But maybe someday. I hate driving in the traffic, and I just don't know my way around down there enough. You take care. Why, great hearing you this morning, and have a good day, and stay safe, most of all. KJ4 TTD and 0TR 73 is Wyatt.
All right, Tom, we'll catch you later. KJ4 is TTD, and I'll be clear.
You are KJ4 BWA.
Hey, Tom, just got a quick question for you.
Fire away.
Look his beak. What can we do for him?
Hey.
Pack or do anything like that?
No, I just don't know, Steve. Call the chicken man, Eamon. Have you got his phone number? He might be able to tell you. He's an expert on that.
Okay, no, I don't have his phone number. Could you text it to me? You've got my phone number.
You bet, and I'm sorry to hear that. You know, some places, I don't know if they still do this or not, they clipped their beaks when they were tiny so that they wouldn't do that pecking thing, you know, how chickens do. And you got to put that purple medicine on them. But they said if you clipped it too far, they'd just die because they couldn't eat after that. But super glue would be the only thing I'd know, but I doubt it, Steve, because that takes such a concussion, you know, when they're eating. I just don't think it would work, unfortunately. And I even have feelings for chickens till they stop laying or they attack you like that rooster did. That's a different story. But, yeah, I'll get that. And I'm sure I got your phone number in there, and I'll text it up to you. I did have two phone numbers, and I don't want to hit your business number, so give me the last four digits of that number, and I'll know which one. I think I erased the other one so I wouldn't accidentally do your business.
Well, either one of them would have been fine, but if you want to text it to 1632, it'd be fine.
I'll do that right now. Let me look her up, bud. I'll be out mobile in a little while. This is NZ0TR.
TR, as always, I appreciate you, bud. And I will talk to you again soon. K4 BWA, clear.